Praise the Lord. Pastor Rod's going to get himself in trouble today. Eh, well. Let's turn this morning to Ecclesiastes 1:9. This passage, I'd be willing to bet most of you could quote by heart. Solomon writes this, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun." That, friends, is a great truth. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would come today and you would help me to share your word with your people. I pray, Father, you would give them ears to hear and eyes to see. I pray, Father, you'd help me not go beyond what's written, but to strengthen and encourage your body, according to the call you've placed in my life. Father, come and help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you said I'm going to get in trouble today. Probably true. For those of you who may not be in the loop, today is Palm Sunday. You may not have caught that. That's the day Jesus entered Jerusalem. This would be his last week on earth before he would die and be risen again. And as he entered Jerusalem, he was entering very much as a king. The people were casting their cloaks down on the road as he was coming in, and they were cutting palm branches, and they were waving them, and they were throwing down. And palm branches, if you don't know, these are symbols of victory, right? They are what the people in the games, they would be waved there. And so that's why it's often called the triumphal entry of Jesus. He was entering Jerusalem as their king, and he was their rightful king. Throughout the world today, I think you'll find very few churches that aren't celebrating Palm Sunday. Many of the churches are going to actually hand out palm fronds. You know what a palm frond is. You know, it's kind of the leafy part. In some religions, Catholics, for example, what they'll do is they'll take those fronds at the end of the... They'll gather them all up after the worship, and they'll burn them, and they will be the ashes that they'll use for Ash Wednesday the following year. So there's a lot of tradition that surrounds Palm Sunday. These traditions and these celebrations, they're important. And I think they add a lot to the church. And the reason that I point these traditions out today is because we're not going to do any of that. Just none of it. And that's why I said I'm probably going to get in trouble, because certainly somebody has come expecting a Palm Sunday service, and we're not going to do that. Here's the thing. The traditions in the church, they are important traditions. But what I feel like I need to share with you today flies in the face of tradition. I feel like what I want to share with you today takes precedence over tradition. Luke 17:26, Jesus said this. He said, "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also it will be in the days of the Son of Man." Jesus is talking about this. What he's referring to is he's referring to the time when he returns, when he comes back to the earth. And see, just before Noah got in the ark, everybody was living their lives. They were marrying, they were giving in marriage, they were getting up in the morning, they were going to work, they were doing the stuff that they needed to do. That's what was happening. And all of a sudden, in a moment, everything changed. See, today, across the world, You ever heard the term Christer Christian? Christer Christians are those who show up on Easter and Christmas. Christmas and Easter, Christer. They darken the door of the church twice a year. Occasionally, they'll show up for Palm Sunday. But here's the deal, and I'm not mad. Please don't ever hear mad in what I'm saying. Sometimes people the intention. I'm being judgmental. I'm trying to point things out so you'll see and pay attention. See, these people are going to come, but the truth is they're coming so blindly. They have no idea who they're coming to worship. They know Him only as Jesus, but they've never met Him. There is nothing that has transpired in their heart. And in fact, as they come to worship, their hearts are actually closed. Their eyes are closed. They worship one whom they don't know. That's sad to me. And they're going to go through motions, and these motions have great significance. Many people will wave for the churches that hand out the palm fronds. They'll wave them as they worship, but they have little understanding of what it represents. Today, I feel like what we need more than palm fronds is a wake-up call. I feel like what we need to do is maybe, rather than recounting or reenacting tradition, we need to talk about what's going on. Palm Sunday was going to be the final week of Jesus' life here on earth before He would die on the cross. He would die the following week, become our Passover lamb. 3 days later, He would be raised from the dead. And it was the night of the Last Supper. He would tell His disciples this. He said, I have much to tell you. I got a lot that you need to understand, but right now it's more than you can bear. In some ways, I feel like that is where the American church is at today. I feel like God has a lot of things He wants to tell us. A lot of things that He wants to share with us. They're important things. And time is getting really, really short. For Jesus, that was the last night. I mean, what He was going to share had happened quickly. I think there's things that He wants to share with us. But the truth is, I think for most people, they're more than you can bear. It's not what you want to hear. It's not what anybody wants to hear. Just understand this. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. What has been will be again. History is unfolding. And there's an old saying, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. There isn't anything new under the sun. And what you're watching today has happened throughout history so many times before, and it always ends exactly the same. Now, the message I want to share with you, many of you know I was back in Colorado a couple weeks ago and spent some time with Pastor Mark. He's a dear friend to me. One of the people you may not know is Peter Eyrich. I don't know, I've talked about him a lot. John Kuhn I've mentioned a few times. Well, Peter and John and Mark, We just kind of were all friends. And Peter, when I went to Rosenheim on a short-term mission, this was the first short-term mission I'd ever done in my whole life. And I didn't really know Jesus. I thought I was just going to see Germany cheaply, you know, inexpensively. I thought, yeah, I'm going to go with the church. We're going to stay with people. I'm going to have a great time. This will be awesome. And I figured I could hold my tongue for a couple of weeks. I could remember to pray before the meals. You know, the Christian-y stuff people do. Well, Peter Eyrich was pastoring the church in Rosenheim, and that's where we were based at the time. That's where we stayed at the time. And so he was one of the people that was there when I met the Lord. So last week, Peter had flown out and joined us while we were in Colorado. And he shared some things with me that they just really got me thinking, and I want to share those things with you, so I bring all this up because credit where credit's due. I don't want you to think I've got some great insights. But sometimes when men of God speak, you begin to hear what's going on, and today I want you to hear what's going on. What Peter was talking about, he called modern-day Gnosticism. That's kind of a lot to get your head around. And so I guess we need to start at the beginning. If you're not familiar with Gnosticism, what that is a way of thinking, and whole religions are built around Gnosticism. It's a term I used last week, and I didn't really define it well, and I thought we're going to take some time today, and we're going to do that. Gnosticism in general. Now, it's really hard to nail down Gnosticism because it's a very wide berth. It covers a lot of stuff, and so there isn't just one pigeonhole it fits in. It's big. But in general, Gnosticism is the belief that there are secret and hidden things. They lie just under the surface. And these secret and hidden things can't be known by everybody. Only those on the inside will know them. And the truth is, not everyone is entitled to know them. So you need to be somebody special if you're going to get to know the secret truth, the deeper truth, the truth that's, they would say, more important. The word Gnostic simply means knowledge. And Gnostics are people who seek out hidden knowledge. In some ways, if you'll think about it, it's what the serpent used in the Garden of Eden. Eve, there are some secret things, some things God hasn't told you. Eat the apple. You eat the apple and you're going to be in the know along with God. These secret things will be revealed to you. They'll be made clear to you and you're going to be like God. As a people, we like to be in the know. I like to be in the know. I like to know what's going on. You ever been around a gossip? They like to be in the know too. They want to be sure everybody's in the know, even if we don't know if it's true. Now, Gnosticism was one of the great problems that the early church was suffering. And it was. It was a huge problem. You'll read about it in a number of places. One of the clearest sections that you're going to find this in is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. It's a letter Jesus wrote to the angel of the church at Thyatira. And Jesus says this to them. He says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I've given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. And so I will cast her on a bed of suffering. I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except hold on to what you have until I come. Satan's so-called deep secrets. This is the basis of Gnosticism. These are secrets that are theoretically only for the few. Only certain people get to be in the know. Insider knowledge deemed unfit for the masses. If you knew about this, it would wreck you, so we're going to protect you by not telling you. And only those who are worthy are brought into the fold. And so Gnostics spend a lot of time trying to be worthy so they can be brought into the fold so they can get this secret information. You're familiar with the Freemasons, this is that same type of idea. You'll see this in some religion. Mormons, for example, there's certain parts of Mormon worship that what they do is it's only done behind closed doors. And the only way you can see it is you have to be a Mormon. And they say this, they say it's not secret, it's sacred. Well, isn't that the very definition of Gnosticism? If you want to be on the inside, you have to come in. You have to join us to be on the inside. You have to be worthy. Paul would write a letter to the church at Colossae. And I don't know why I do this for you. Your pastor's weird. I always call it First Colossians. Okay, there's only one Colossians, so it technically is First Colossians. So if you ever hear me do that, I'm not being crazy. It's just, I'm just strange. So, he's going to write a letter to the church at Colossae. And he's going to do this while he's imprisoned in Rome. Now, he would have never met the Colossian church, but he knew of them, and they knew of him, and they reverenced him. They respected his giftings and his leadership. Now, sometime earlier, Paul was in Ephesus, and he met a young man named Epaphras. And Epaphras was originally from the city Colossae. And so Paul is going to send his letter to the church via Epaphras. That's what he's going to do. Epaphras is going to go back to his hometown and bring the good news of Jesus to them. And of course, if you're familiar, you know that Epaphras is going to go to a couple other of the nearby cities as well. Laodicea is one of them, and Hierapolis. Now, as time goes on, Epaphras is going to be arrested as well, and he'll be brought back to Rome. And as a prisoner, he will explain to Paul what's going on to the church and in those cities. The Colossians were mostly Gentiles, and like the church that was at Galatia, if you've ever sat down and just read Galatians beginning to end, and if you've never done that, I encourage you, one sitting. Don't stop. Don't read it like a book. Read it like a letter. And what you'll see is that there were these people called Judaizers. That's what they called them back then. And they were people who were essentially saying, you need to come to Christ. You need to give your heart to Christ. But you also have to obey the entire law. You have to do it all. You have to have both pieces. And unless you have both pieces, God will not receive you into the kingdom. They were damaging the churches. They were causing a lot of problems. And of course, that's nonsense. You can't live between two covenants. You can't live between two laws. But because these teachers were adding extra rules and what they were doing is they were claiming we've had visions from God. And God has shown us these secret things. And God has explained to us what's actually happening. It was this secret knowledge that they were bringing into the church and saying you have to obey the law and you have to live by faith in Christ. Okay. It's by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's it. That's salvation. Now, when people are starting to talk about these wonderful secret visions, you know, Joseph Smith, he had a vision, ended up with a whole new book to go with the Bible. I'm not picking on people. What I'm saying is, secret visions and things that are meant for only a few, that's not God's way. I want you to understand that. That's not the nature of Christ. So, as Paul writes to the Colossians, he's simply going to say this, nothing is hidden. Nothing's hidden. If you go through and read Colossians, he says, nothing is hidden. When you got Jesus as your Messiah, you've got everything there is. It's all there. In his letter, he goes on to say that we were created by Jesus, who is God's Son. And we were reconciled back to God by that same Son on the cross. I want to read just a bit of Paul's letter to you. I'm going to pick up in chapter 2, verse 1. Paul writes this. And again, with this as our backdrop, with this Gnosticism that has infiltrated their church. Paul writes this. I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches, complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. So what he's saying is, there is a mystery. And that mystery is Christ. And if you have Him, you have all of it. There is nothing else hidden beyond that. Because in Him are all the treasures you could ever want. Continuing in verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ. Gnostics have a tendency to believe that the world is what's perfect and man is what's wrecked it. Once again, it's happening. Gnosticism is infiltrating the church at high levels. Secret insider information that's only available to some but not available to others. If you're not in their loop, you're not deemed worthy. Gnostics use their so-called knowledge to exalt themselves above other people, to show their own superiority. And they mock those who don't have the same understandings or don't look at things the same way. And they justify their cruelty and their evil actions because of their secret knowledge. This is what's happening. Today, we don't call it Gnosticism, we call it woke culture. But it's the same thing. We as a people, we're doing things. We're allowing things to be done that make absolutely no sense whatever because a few people claim to have this insider knowledge and understanding. I remember in the 90s, we were told that our kids were not affirmed. It was unreasonable for us as parents to give trophies to winners and not give them to everybody. There shouldn't be winners and losers. So we started giving the entire football team participation trophies. And we had graduation from kindergarten to the first grade. Consequently, we had taught our children that there is no winning and losing, that the battlefield of life is even. And a whole generation didn't know how to deal with a world that doesn't offer trophies for failure. We implemented a bad idea offered by a few, and our children suffered. Today there is a teaching about global warming. Don't send me emails. Don't want your emails. I'm not talking about global warming. Global warming is not my point. My point is this. Gnostics believe the earth is sacred. And they believe that the planet is infected with a virus. And that virus is you and me. And we are destroying the earth. We're told that without intervention by those who know better, that mankind will ultimately destroy the earth. That's a Gnostic philosophy. It's what modern day Gnosticism looks like, and it's infiltrated the church. Friends, there are no secret knowledges, not if you're in Christ. That same last night, that last supper, he told his disciples this. Let's turn to John 16, verse 13. Like I said, John 16, verse 12. Yeah, we'll draw everything in. I have much more to say to you than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That's why I say the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you. By His own words, Jesus is making it quite clear that through the Spirit, He will share all truth with us. So, when you're confronted with people who know the secrets right? Man, there's so much crazy. There's a secret chord, and if you find it on the guitar, you'll find healing. No, there's no secret things like that. I become worn out with the woke church. I think I've mentioned this before. There's a fine line between being awake and being woke. It's time to recognize that. Even Elon Musk, this last week, I don't think he's a believer. I don't know him. I haven't read lots about him. But he said this about the woke movement. He said it's divisive, it's exclusionary, and it's hateful. This is them talking about themselves. And friends, this, divisive, exclusionary, and hateful, that is the definition of Gnosticism. Today I want to encourage you with the words that Paul had given to the church at Colossae. He said, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than upon Christ. And just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Guys, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Everything was the same. People today are marrying, they're giving in marriage. As it was in the church, Gnosticism was rising up. Today it's rising up again. Nothing is new. How old was Noah when he got on the ark? Anybody know? He was 600 years old. Took 120 years to build the ark. How many kids did Noah take on the ark with him? So what you're telling me, three kids. So what you're telling me is in 600 years, Noah had three kids? That does not seem congruent to what we know about that time in history. People had lots of kids. Piles of kids. I mean, seriously. At 600 years old, he should have been a great-grandfather times over. Three kids got on the ark with him, as it was in the days of Noah. I'll just let you ponder that for a minute. Guys, traditions are important. We need traditions. Our kids need traditions. Today I picked a day that we normally celebrate traditions, and I went another way because I think today more than a tradition we need truth. I mean, I'm sorry, but we need truth. I have to tell you, I'm worn out with praying with Christians who end their prayers with abracadabra. I'm tired of that. Okay, some of you are laughing, so maybe I better explain. Turn to John 14:13. Jesus speaking, he says this, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." The abracadabra I'm referring to is "in Jesus' name, amen." Sometimes it doesn't even get enunciated. It's just "in Jesus' name, amen." It's not being used as a profession of being found in Christ. It's being used as the abracadabra. People read this passage and they think, "Oh, well, if I just say in Jesus' name, amen, God is relegated, obligated by His word to do whatever I ask Him to do." No! And stop asking for things like that. I told you, pastor's going to get in trouble today. "Whatsoever you ask in my name means you are found in Christ." It's a declaration that you are in Christ. It's a declaration that I have come on the authority of Christ Himself. And if you, Satan, were to go ask Jesus, He'd say, yes, He's there on my authority. That thing that He's invoking, He's doing that because I asked Him to. Do you understand the difference? Jesus is not obligated to do whatever you want Him to do. Jesus, I really need a third Mercedes. I'm not saying He won't give it to you. I'm just saying He's not obligated because you prayed in Jesus' name, amen. And in many ways, that too is a Gnosticism. It's because you think you found some secret thing that if you invoke it in the right way, it makes things work. That's not how any of this works. There are no secret hidden things. We all have access to everything the Father has. Do you understand what I'm telling you? To pray in Jesus' name doesn't mean I'm found in His house. It doesn't mean I go to church. It means I am actually found in Him. John 14, 20, 21. On that day, Jesus said, you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. That's in Jesus' name. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. That's in Jesus' name. I want to encourage you, friends, as we move forward, Gnosticism will also increase. These ideas of secret and hidden knowledges that are in Christ. There's nothing secret. There's nothing that you have to attain a certain level before God's going to love you, or you have to attain a certain level before He'll forgive you or before He'll receive you. Come to Him as you are. Come to Him as you are. As an American church, we say come as you are, but we demand you be cleaned up before you come in. Listen, I know you got a drug problem. You just stop that and then we'll receive you at church. I know you drink too much. Just don't come in smelling of booze. I know you're a glutton, so you're going to need to wear two pairs of Spanx before you come in. We make such crazy rules, people. All right, I've gone over. And for those who are looking for a Palm Sunday message, I am sorry. But I think we're in an hour that truly requires truth over tradition. Father, I pray that You would help us. Lord Jesus, help us to embrace You. Father, help us to understand what it is to be found in You and for You to be found in us. Father, help the things of this world just to grow dim. I don't want anything here. I want You. I want Your life. I want Your strength and Your peace. Father, I pray that You would help us. Help us, Lord, to recognize the Gnostic movements. Help us, Father, to call them out before they do the damage that they always end up doing. Father, for my friends here today, Lord, I pray that You would strengthen them. I pray, Father, You would give them a voice among their peers and among their friends. I pray, Father, You would help them to share Your life and Your truth and the salvation that's found in Christ. Father, help us all to be witnesses for You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.